listening to the Central City Assembly podcast. We're dedicated to creating and sharing content that magnifies and multiplies Jesus for the glory of God and the good of our city and helps you grow in your love for Him. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with someone who you think will be encouraged by it. Enjoy this episode and may you be filled with the love of God the Father.
Good morning, CCA. Welcome to church this morning. As I've been preparing for this sermon this week, I've been thinking about some of the most important questions in life, really meditating on what are those things that are really important for us to think on. And as I was doing that, I decided to look into what I found was not the most important questions in life, and that is the things that people Google most frequently. In 2023, the most frequently Googled questions were, number one, where is my refund? That may tell us something about the state of the economy, but probably is not really all that important for our lives in the long run. Number two, most Googled question of 2023 is actually also the most Googled question of all time. It is, some of you may know this, how many ounces are in a cup? And that, I think, tells us something about our educational system. Hopefully, you don't need to Google that to get the answer, but we'll just leave it at that. Number three, most Googled question of 2023 is, how do you calculate the BMI? Now, I don't actually care about how to calculate the BMI, because even since I was a teenager and competing at a high level in athletics, the BMI called me obese. So when something consistently calls me names, I just ignore it. But you might actually want to know how to calculate that. So number three, most Googled question, how to calculate the BMI. And number four, the really earth-shattering important question, most Googled in 2023, is Rihanna pregnant? So I actually didn't even go further into research to figure out if that was true. It probably depends on when you Google that, if it's a yes or a no. But at any rate, I found that those are not the most important questions. For some reason, I don't know why, I expected to find something more meaningful, like how do I find love, or how do I find happiness? What's the meaning of life? Maybe something like, did I wait too long to start asking meaningful questions? And based on our Google results, yes, we all did. Or how about this one? What am I here for? Thankfully, it seems that most people still have enough sense not to trust Google with these types of questions. So there's something good there in that research I did. But I really wanted to focus in on one of those questions today, and that is something that we all wrestle with. What am I here for? Or if we want to put it in more Christian-y terms, we might say it something like, what is my calling? So today we're going to be thinking on that. We're going to be looking at that, but we're going to be looking at it in the context of what Jesus said about his calling, how he answered this question, what am I here for? So would you pray with me before we start? Lord, we ask that you would speak to us this morning, that you would reveal yourself in a new way today, that we would experience your presence, your conviction, your love, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We ask, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today we're going to be reading from the book of Luke chapter 4. If you'd turn with me in your physical Bible or your digital Bible, if you don't have one of those, you probably have a device that's capable of having one of those, so go ahead and download an app for a digital Bible. And we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 14. So when you get there with me, I'm taking a page out of Pastor Kai's book this morning and asking, once you're there, go ahead and shout out the number of ounces that are in a cup. All right, so here we are, Luke chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the surrounding region. He taught in their synagogues and was glorified by everyone. Then Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. And when he stood to read, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, returned it to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began by saying, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Verse 22, all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we've heard that you did in Capernaum.'" Then he added, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But I tell you truthfully that there were many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and great famine swept over the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to the widow of Zarephath in Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." On hearing this, all the people in the synagogue were enraged. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him over the cliff. But Jesus passed through the crowds and went on his way. We made it to verse 31. We're going all the way to the end of the chapter. Verse 31. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he began to teach the people. They were astonished at his teaching because his message had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon. He cried out in a loud voice, "Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked the demon. "Be silent," he said. "Come out of him." At this, the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without harming him. All the people were overcome with amazement and asked one another, "What is this message? With authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out." And the news about Jesus spread throughout the region. Verse 38, after Jesus had left the synagogue, he went to the home of Simon, whose mother-in-law was suffering from the high fever. So they appealed to Jesus on her behalf, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she got up at once and began to serve them. At sunset, all who were ill with various diseases were brought to Jesus, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Demons also came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked the demons and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. Verse 42, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place and the crowds were looking for him. They came to him and tried to keep him from leaving, but Jesus told them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, because that is why I was sent." And he continued to preach in the synagogues of Judea. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that you speak to us, the revelation of your spirit through your word. Amen. All right, so let's do a quick recap. This year, we are focused on this idea of beholding Jesus. And we're looking at the ways in which what we behold is what we become. As we behold Jesus, we will be transformed into his image. As we look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we will be made like him. And so we've been doing this year by walking through the book of Luke. And so from the start of the year, we've been looking at sequential chapters in the book of Luke, looking at passage after passage. And we're in this series called Jesus for Everyone. Looking at how Luke really presents to us that Jesus is the Savior for the whole world. And so Luke's prior focus this whole time, as we've looked passage after passage up to now, is really on the work of the Holy Spirit. We see that in the start of Luke, chapter 1, we see the Holy Spirit emphasis as the Holy Spirit moves on and works through Zechariah, and he prophesies. We see it with Elizabeth in chapter 1, where she prophesies over Mary and the baby Jesus in her womb. We see it where the Holy Spirit comes on Mary to make her pregnant supernaturally as a virgin. We saw the Holy Spirit working in Simeon to prophesy in chapter 2, over the boy Jesus. And then in chapter 3, we saw John the Baptist empowered by the Spirit for his ministry of baptism for repentance. Last week, Pastor Kai preached on the wilderness temptation of Jesus and overcoming temptation in our lives. And we saw again the focus of the Holy Spirit leading Jesus into the wilderness where he was tempted. And so now we're picking up in chapter 4, verse 14, and we've got this pretty lengthy passage that we just read, but we're looking at this story, and it is a lengthy passage because it fits together. It's a cohesive story. So we're seeing that Jesus returned to Galilee at the start of this passage, what? In the power of the Holy Spirit, and all the people were glorifying him. Verse 16, he actually goes back to his hometown, Nazareth, where he grew up. And it says, as was his custom, what did he do? He went to church. And he actually did what was standard practice for church in that time. They did church a little differently, the synagogue, a little differently than we do church today. So the standard practice then was somebody who was designated to teach would stand up to read the scripture, that act sort of signifying the authority of scripture, the reverence for scripture. So they would stand and they would be given a scripture passage to read. Usually they would pick that, and then they would sit down and they would teach something about that scripture. And usually they would just recite some teaching that a different rabbi had taught to them previously. And so this is where we find ourselves in verse 17 of Luke chapter 4. Jesus stands to read from the scroll of Isaiah, or if you're British, Isaiah. And he is reading from Isaiah chapter 61, where he says, "The Holy Spirit has come upon me because he's anointed me." What does that word anointed mean? Well, literally, it means smeared or smeared with oil. But the idea of anointing, the practice of anointing, was something that was instituted in the Old Testament by God, and it was the process by which someone was designated as being chosen for a divine office. So we see this with priests, and in particular the high priest. They would smear them with oil. They would anoint them to show everyone, to signify to the world that this person was chosen by God to be the high priest. And that anointing lasted for their whole lives, as Pastor Kai taught us a few weeks ago. And so we see that with the priests. We also see that with kings, right? We see someone being anointed to be the king, and we saw it with Saul, the first king of Israel, and then David was anointed to be king, but he was not able to take that anointing on until the previous king, Saul, had died. And so we see that whole story, right? So being anointed means to be chosen for a divine office. And it's chosen by God, and it's clearly, it comes with clearly delineated authority, as well as a set of responsibilities and tasks that are clearly defined. So Jesus here says, the Holy Spirit has anointed me, and then he describes what that anointing is for. It's to preach good news to the poor. It's to proclaim liberty and release to the oppressed. And it's to bring recovery of sight for the blind, healing, physical, supernatural healing, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus reads this passage, and nobody is surprised at this point, because this is part of the way church happens, right? Somebody reads a scripture, and then they're going to sit down, and they're going to teach about it. And Jesus sits down in verse 20, and he starts to teach, and he teaches this: I am the fulfillment of this scripture. This is where it's really shocking to everyone, right? Because they expect him to recite something he's heard before, but he doesn't say, you know, oh, this is what I think this passage is about. He says, this is about me. I'm fulfilling it. And everybody knows this is a messianic prophecy. That it's a scripture foretelling the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus is in his hometown with all these people he grew up with saying, that's me. I'm the Messiah. You're seeing the fulfillment of this today. And so this really sets the stage then. This is the outline for the rest of this fairly lengthy passage of Scripture. First, he starts by teaching that he is the fulfillment of Scripture. And then we're going to see Luke walk us through a set of stories that show us that he didn't just teach that he was the fulfillment of the Scripture, he also demonstrated that he was the fulfillment of this Scripture. But before we get into that demonstration, we encounter this really weird, awkward story in verse 22. The people of Nazareth are questioning, wait, isn't this Joe's kid? Like, we grew up with him. We know him. He's claiming to be the Messiah. And they're marveling at his teaching, but they're questioning. And in this story, Jesus challenges their questioning and their self-importance, and then they try to throw him off a cliff. And the obvious question here is, why in the world would Luke include this in this chapter? Why did Luke think this was important? And I guess I can't give you a precise answer. I think there's a lot of possible reasons why Luke could have chosen this to include this, but I'm gonna provide you two suggestions as to why it's here, and there may be many more. Number one, this story is important because Jesus just claimed to be the Messiah, and making that claim didn't mean that he's fulfilling Isaiah 61. It meant he's fulfilling all the messianic prophecy. And the Jewish people were very familiar with messianic prophecy at the time. But one of the things that this shows he's fulfilling is in Isaiah chapter 53 and elsewhere in Psalms, it talks about the suffering servant. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with deepest grief. And so when you go back home after being away for a little while, and your homecoming reception is the people you grew up with trying to throw you off a cliff to kill you, I think that counts as a man of sorrows acquainted with deepest grief. It says we turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. So this story points us to Jesus as the fulfillment of messianic prophecy. Maybe not the one that he just taught on in Isaiah chapter 61, but it does show us that he is fulfilling the prophecies about what will happen to the Messiah. The second possible reason Luke included this is that after Jesus makes this claim of being the Messiah, it would be really easy for the people of Nazareth to get puffed up, to think of themselves more highly than they ought, to take credit in some way for producing the Messiah, right? We know that where you're from in this culture is really important. And we looked at this in lineage, right? Luke even includes this lengthy genealogy in his in the previous chapters, because where you come from is really important in this culture and in this time. But it would be easy then for the people of Nazareth to take credit for look, the Messiah came from us. Look how important we are. And Jesus wanted to be very clear that his work was not about Nazareth. It wasn't just for those people. But Jesus is for everyone. All right, so back to our main point. Jesus claims to be the fulfillment of this messianic passage from Isaiah 61. First, he teaches that in the synagogue, in church, and then he demonstrates it throughout the rest of this chapter. He demonstrates it by doing those things, by preaching, by breaking oppression, and by performing physical healing. And so we're just going to kind of walk quickly through that outline. Verse 31, Jesus preaches in Capernaum. He's preaching about the kingdom of God. And then he has this encounter with the demon-possessed man, and he delivers that man from demonic oppression. Verse 38, Jesus goes to Peter's mother-in-law's house and he heals her of a fever. And then it says, everyone else in town came to him and he healed them of their sicknesses. Everyone else that was ill came and he healed them. So we see him preaching, we see him delivering the demonic oppression, we see him bringing physical healing. And then in verse 41, it says, also a whole bunch of demonically oppressed people came to Peter's mother-in-law's house, and he delivered them all. Many demons came out of people at his command. Verse 42, then he continues to preach. And when the people try to keep him there, he says, no, no, I have a job to do. I have to go preach for all the towns, not just you here. So we see this outline of scripture where Jesus started by teaching that he was the fulfillment of the scripture. And then Luke shows us clearly that he did the things that he said he was the fulfillment of. All right, so that's an interesting story. It's probably an important story historically, but what does it mean for you and me today? I think it's really critical that we recognize when we talked about anointing, that that anointing is permanent. And what that means is when a priest was anointed, they were anointed until they're in the grave. But Jesus came out of the grave, and what it means for us today is that he is still anointed to this divine office, to this sacred mission, to these tasks today. He's anointed to do these things for you and for me. Jesus has a message of good news. He's preaching good news to you right now, if you'll listen. Today is the day of salvation, we read in 2 Corinthians 6. Romans chapter 3 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace. Later in Romans, Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we've all heard, or most of us have heard, John 3:16, the most famous passage in Scripture, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but would have everlasting life. If you have not experienced the saving power of Jesus, his anointing today is to bring good news to you. He wants to save you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to give you new life. And all you have to do is accept that and surrender yourself to him. Jesus is anointed to preach good news today. Number two, Jesus is still anointed today to break your oppression and set you free. Some of you are struggling with anxiety or depression or fear. Others of you, you may be wrestling with some sin, some pattern of sin that you just can't seem to break free from, substance addiction, pornography, pride. Maybe you just can't control your rage. You're feeling locked in some pattern of sin, and you need freedom. Jesus has power and anointing to break that oppression and to set you free today. Some of you may be experiencing real demonic oppression. And in our whitewashed Western culture, we try to pretend that that's not a thing anymore. We that's too spooky and heebity-jeebity for us. But demons are real. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And if you're experiencing a demonic oppression, attack from the enemy, Jesus wants to set you free today. He did it then. He can do it now. John chapter 8, Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are my true disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read that no temptation has overcome you except that which is common to man. God is faithful, and he won't let you be tempted beyond your ability, but will with the temptation, he will also provide you a way of escape, a path to freedom, that you may be able to endure it. Psalms 34 says, "When the righteous cries for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." And Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "He delivers us from the domain of darkness. He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son." If you're experiencing some kind of bondage today, whether that's mental anguish or bondage to sin or demonic oppression, Jesus is anointed still our high priest to break your oppression and set you free. And Jesus is still anointed to heal today. He wants to heal you. If you have a physical illness, Jesus is at work today. He can demonstrate his power in your life through physical healing. We read it in Luke chapter 4, verse 40. It said, "All who were sick were brought to him, and when he placed his hands on them, they were healed." Jesus wants to rest his hands of healing on you today. James chapter 5 says, "Is anyone sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up." And Isaiah chapter 53, that suffering servant passage, reminds us of the promise that he's already purchased our healing by his stripes, by his wounds. We are healed. So I want to encourage you today. What does this passage of Scripture mean to us? It means that Jesus is here for you right now to bring salvation, to preach good news. He has good news for you. Jesus is anointed today to break your oppression and set you free. Jesus is anointed right now to bring you healing supernaturally. And some of you have latched on to one of those things or multiple, and you're ready to receive. But some of you maybe said, "Yes, praise God, I've received all those things." And there's one more thing that's important for us to recognize. And that is that while this passage points us to the fact that Jesus is the fulfillment of that scripture, he's been anointed to preach good news to the poor, he has also anointed you to do the same. The Holy Spirit is upon you if you've received the salvation of God to do these things. Mark chapter 16, Jesus tells his disciples, go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to all creation. And then he goes on to say, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will bring freedom. They will break bondage and oppression. And finally, he says, and they'll lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. They will bring healing. Jesus commissions each of us as believers to preach, to bring freedom and break bondages, and to bring healing. John chapter 14, Jesus says something astounding, crazy. He says, truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we're going to respond this morning in a couple of ways. We're going to respond by taking communion together. At CCA, we practice open communion. That means you don't have to be a member of our church or of the Assemblies of God to receive communion with us, but you do have to be a member of the body of Christ. And that means you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and surrendered your life to him. And if you've done that, we want to encourage you to take communion with us today. For those of you who haven't, while the rest of the congregation is taking communion, I want to give you an opportunity. Jesus is preaching to you. Some of you may, you've been feeling that tug on your heart this morning. You're hearing him preach to you salvation, and you're ready to surrender. And so we're going to make an opportunity. The rest of you can go begin to collect your communion elements, take communion with each other in your rows. If you are ready to receive salvation, I'm asking you to come forward now. Let us pray for you. Let us pray with you, and you will receive the gift of God's grace. For those of you who are taking communion together, allow this to be an opportunity for you to receive what God has. Maybe you need deliverance from something, and those things have come to mind as I've been preaching. It's time for you to receive that from Christ himself as you receive the cup and the bread. Some of you need supernatural healing, and God has purchased your healing through his beating, through his wounds. And so receive that healing today. He will work in you as you receive it. And some of you are ready to receive a new supernatural anointing to bring these things to the world. And so as you take communion, I just encourage you to meditate on these things, think on these things, receive from God as you pray together for the things that he wants you to do. If you're ready to receive the gospel, come forward now and let's pray together. We've got a few reflection questions for you as you meditate on these things throughout the week. The first is, have you received the good news that Jesus preached? And in what ways do you need to allow his teaching to penetrate your heart more completely? Number two, when and or how have you experienced release from oppression or bondage through Jesus? Take time to share this testimony with someone this week. Number three, have you received or witnessed the supernatural healing of Jesus? I just encourage you, share that testimony. We overcome by the word of our testimony, and there's power in sharing that with others. And number four, reflection question, in what ways do you need to experience the healing, comfort, or release that Jesus has to offer in your life today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We ask that you would saturate our hearts with your presence and that you would work these things deep into us. You would bring freedom and healing and salvation to each of us, and that as we receive from you, we would accept the anointing that you've placed on us to go out and do the same for the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you were blessed by this episode and would like to help us create and share more content that magnifies and multiplies Jesus, would you consider giving a financial gift of any amount today? Whatever you give will go towards building the kingdom of God in the lives of people all over the world. Thank you for your support, and we pray many blessings over you.